Hello, it is Alexandra J, and we have a fantastic guest that I'm so excited about today. Her name is Celeste Hirschman, and she has made a lifelong study of sexuality, intimacy, and relationships, both inside and outside of the classroom. She is currently an assistant professor at the Institute for Advanced Study of Human Sexuality, where she teaches the Sexological Bodywork Certificate Training, so exciting. And she also received an MA in Human Sexuality Studies from San Francisco State University. Welcome, Celeste.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
So exciting. So, first question, how and what inspired you to become a sex coach?
Well, you know, I was always, from a very young age, I was very interested in sexuality, sex and sexuality, which I think is unusual for women because a lot of times we get very negative messages about sex. And I was brought up in a pretty, sort of a more open, free environment, just around body and sexuality to some degree. So I think that gave me a little bit of a foundation, but it's really just been a curiosity of mine and an interest of mine for many, many years. And then I kind of started to say, okay, well, this is what I want to do with my life, and I went through the academic channels first and got my master's in human sexuality studies, and what I found there was that it was very much a brain-centered project of, like, research and politics and sociology, and I thought, okay, but where's the sex here? I want to talk about sex. I want to talk about what people do in bed. I want to talk about fantasies. I want to talk about how people feel about themselves and their bodies, and so I kind of went on my own personal journey around sexuality, taking tantra workshops, and I eventually ended up in this sexological bodywork certification training, which I now teach, as you were saying. And in that training, I experienced a level of embodiment around eroticism that I had not felt, you know, since sort of just the freedom of being a small child and running around and playing. And so I thought, oh my God, other people can experience this and I can help them. And I also met my business partner, Danielle Harrell, in the training. And we teamed up to create a kind of sex and relationship therapy that helps people through their bodies find out who they are, what they want, not just around sex, because as soon as you engage your eroticism, you find out who you are and what you want around a lot of things. But through your eroticism and through sort of pleasure and a lust for life, how you can get what you want both, you know, with sexuality and intimacy and in your life in general. So that's what our coaching is based on.
Wow, that is so exciting too. And I love that it's more of what I'm hearing is it's a more intimate relationship with you and your body and just your life. So it's not like just sex. You know, sex is over here in this compartment and we'll pull it out every once in a while when we want to have sex, but it's more of a embodiment in your day-to-day life. Is that right?
Oh, my God. I mean, sex is so compartmentalized in our culture. We don't, you know, there's imagery around it everywhere, but we don't really talk honestly with each other about our sexual lives. And so this is about finding that intimacy with yourself, like you said, and then carrying that around you everywhere you go. So you're connected to your erotic energy, which is really your life force and your motivating energy in every aspect in your life, in your work, in your family, with your friends, and also in your sexual and intimate relationship with partners.
It's so fantastic. And so I'm really curious of what your thought is around just kind of the repression, why we don't talk about sex, and why there's a lot of shame and guilt. And, you know, there's couples who have been married for 30 years or something and never said, this is what I need to do for an orgasm, or this is what I would love for you to do, or they don't even know where their clitoris is, you know, like what's going on with that?
Well, we're living in really interesting times because on the one hand, we have this puritanical heritage of that sex is bad, that sex is dirty, that sex is sin, which comes from a lot of different religious belief systems. And at the same time, we have the internet, we have movies and television, so we have this proliferation of a certain kind of sexuality that I think people are growing up on, but but very much in the shadows. Like, they're, you know, people are watching porn, they're learning in that way, but they're not learning about their bodies from a holistic, embodied, connected way where they're really encouraged to be intimate with themselves and understand themselves. So I think, you know, transformation, I mean, the sexual revolution opened up a certain kind of sexuality, but I think the way it ended up for women was actually quite harmful. It's this sort of external vision of what I'm supposed to look like and act like as a sexual person without an internal sense of who I am and what I want as a sexual person, as though my sexuality is on display for someone else or in order to please someone else. And so it's really for women, I think, about like reconnecting with our bodies in a different way. I think men's sexuality has been shaped by it in a different way as well, but I know, you know, we really want to talk a lot about women today, and that's what I see happening for women is this externalized sexuality without a real internal connection that's like, you know, where does my orgasm come from? What's my turn on? Why is sex for me?
Right. And do you find that a lot of women, I know when I was younger too, of just like, you know, you want to look good, you want to play the part, and you think you know what to do to be sexy, to kind of attract a man, but there's no, like you said, there's no who am I, how am I in this experience, how I'm not even embodying my sexuality, it's more on pleasing the other person. So I would love to just hear your thoughts on how do we do it for ourselves and to embrace that sexuality and sensuality for our own pleasure.
Right, well, this is exactly what I'm talking about. You know, they say that women reach their sexual peak at 40, and that is not physiological. That's because I think at 40, women start going, you know, screw it. I'm not going to do everything for everyone else. I actually want to, you know, do something here for myself. They sort of give up that externalized project to some degree, you know, and I guess that isn't true for everyone, but, you know, I think that that's one of the reasons that we have that idea in our culture. And I think that it's possible for that to happen so much younger for women. You know, I did a girls group recently with 9, 10, and 11-year-old girls, and I talked to their parents about talking about pleasure, and their parents were terrified.
Wow.
About the idea of talking to girls about pleasure. And I wasn't even talking about sexual pleasure, although I did want to introduce the idea of, you know, self-touch of the body just as a beautiful part of, you know, getting to know who you are. But, like, just the idea of saying to girls, like, you have a right to pleasure is something we don't say to girls at all. In sex education, it's abstinence only. We don't even identify the clitoris. You know, it's all about physiology and, you know, how not to get pregnant and the messages are you need to stay a virgin and you're going to be a slut if you don't. And so we get all of these really negative, non-pleasure-based messages around sex. But I believe pleasure is actually protective to girls. When you tell a girl she has a right to pleasure, she learns that she doesn't just need to go along, that it's not about externalizing what someone else wants for them, but actually saying, do I like this? Does this feel good in my body? I mean, from everything, like what you eat, where you want to go, who and how you want to be touched, you know, all of those things, if we focus on the idea that girls and women deserve pleasure for themselves, then something very transformative can happen. And studies have shown, research has shown, that when you tell girls about pleasure and you tell them they have a right to it, they take better care of themselves. They make conscious decisions about first choices around sexuality. They use protection when they do choose to have sex. And they, you know, they get into more long-term loving relationships as opposed to just sort of feeling this feeling of, oh, I need to do this to make someone else happy.
Wow. It's so incredible that you're doing work with young girls. That, when you said that, that just gave me goosebumps. Like, what would it look like if we had a world where girls learned to pleasure themselves in all the facets? I love that.
Well, it's amazing. There's this province in Spain just now that is teaching kids in school about masturbation and self-touch. I mean, can you imagine that happening in America? What a world that would be. So, you know, I actually don't get a lot of opportunity to work with young people, but I would love to do it more often, or help parents talk to their kids about these things as well.
Right.
Yeah,
that's
so
amazing. Go ahead. Sorry. No, I was just going to say, it's amazing, too. Like, my mom is totally awesome, and she gave me a book on, like, sex and puberty and what I could expect, and she was always open for me talking about it. And so I've always talked to my mom about sex and just everything, And all of my friends are like, I can't believe you talked to your mom about that. And I'm like, if I have children, I have a little girl, I want her to be able to talk to me about that, and I want to be who she goes to as a guide,
I know, and there's this disconnection right between mothers and daughters too, where it's like there's so much fear that moms don't think that they can sit down and say, hey, this is, and I think a lot of moms haven't even done the transformation for themselves to understand why sex is for them, so there's a real missing heritage of information that could be so essential to a way better world for girls and women.
Wow, that's exciting. So, how do you think that sex can be healing, and how does it help kind of help us with our personal growth and just expansion?
Well, it's really interesting. There's this amazing book called The Erotic Mind by Jack Moran, and in it he talks about the idea that each of us has a core erotic theme or something central that really turns us on and arouses us. And I think when you begin to go into people's fantasies, what you understand about them is what their deepest needs and desires are in life, because we fantasize about what we really, really want. And so when you begin to open up that pathway of fantasy and really imagining how you want things to be, it spreads into every realm of your life. Not to mention, when you awaken erotic energy and you realize that you can connect to it yourself and then share it with others if you choose to and in whatever way you choose, it's extremely empowering to know that this is mine and I get to share it with people, experience joy and love and connection in the midst of it. So it's sort of like a sprouting from the inside and then a sharing on the outside.
Wow. What do you think stops people from experiencing that joy, or stops them from really being intimate with their partner and diving into the depths of their sexuality?
Well, I think one of the main factors is shame. And the way that I like to talk about shame is that, we all receive a certain amount of shame, not just around sex, but around just feeling free in our bodies or as, human beings to do what we want to do. When you think about little kids, they're just pleasure seekers, right? Like the moment that you're born, you're looking for a warm breast, you're looking for food, you're looking for a lot of touch and love. And then over time, what happens is young, kids experience pleasure and they're in the midst of expressions of pleasure, say that they're yelling and screaming and running around, or they're eating ice cream and they're getting it all over their face, or even that they're touching themselves. And in the midst of one of those experiences, some adult says, don't do that. Oh, you need to clean yourself up. Why are you being so loud? Don't touch yourself that way. And what arises is, oh my God, my pleasure isn't okay. And this is the foundation of shame. And we take that feeling with us throughout our lives. And so we don't have the feeling, oh, I can just talk to my partner and tell them what I want, or I can just say, oh, these are the things that are exciting or turn me on. Many partners, like you said, spend, their entire relationships never saying the simplest things about what they want. I was working with a couple once, 40 years they'd been together. She'd never told him that she liked her toes sucked. He's like, how could I be getting this information right now? And that's just that's like the ground level, right? Because everybody has
Right.
their own rich and interesting fantasy life, and we don't share on that level because we're so afraid of judgment. It's such a vulnerable place because we're saying, oh my God, I really want to be desired, or I really want to feel powerful, or I want to feel taken. And that's a vulnerable thing to say. And so I
Wow.
think shame really blocks us from sharing at that level with partners, but so much can happen when we open ourselves in this way, as long as we can create an environment with one another that's about non-judgment and acceptance.
Right. So what's the best, do you have, obviously coaching with you in workshops is probably the best way to transform that shame, but do you just have a tip or something that could help people today who's struggling with this shame?
Yes, I think that the first thing to do is to feel your feelings. So most people think about their feelings, and they don't actually allow themselves to go in deep and listen to their bodies in terms of what they're feeling in different experiences and what they want. So a lot of what I help people do in my coaching is to begin to tune in. I actually have a couple of breathwork sessions on my website, one for men and one for women, that people can download as a great way to start the process of going inside and feeling your body and connecting with your erotic energy instead of anxiously running around your life doing things all the time and never actually feeling what your feelings are. A lot of us have shame just about feeling our feelings. And so to begin to acknowledge, wow, this makes me feel afraid, or I'm feeling hurt right now, or I'm excited, or I'm sad, or I feel needy, or whatever the feeling is, to actually just allow yourself to feel it and acknowledge it. I think that's foundational to letting go of shame. And also, you know, like I said, doing this, some of this breath work, and connecting with your body from an erotic place, just with yourself first.
Mm-hmm. Totally. And the breath work, how does that impact? I mean, how does that connect you to your feelings? How does that play into sexuality and just kind of your intimacy with yourself?
Well, I think you find that breath is a foundational tool in just about every practice of embodiment there is, from, you know, yoga to sports to meditation to dance. And connecting with the breath actually brings you into the present moment and into what's happening in your body, in your feelings, in your desire, in your fears right now. And so breath connects us with who we are and what we want in this present moment. And that's really foundational to knowing, to expressing your sexuality and getting in touch with it.
And then, I'm curious, is the feelings too, feeling your feelings and just letting them kind of play out, do most women just, for me, I know that I've stopped a lot of feelings, you know, and I put a happy face on, but actually really I'm feeling sad or whatever, and not feeling them, so what's the process of feeling them, just kind of letting them roll through, or do you journal or dance with them, like what's a way that you can work with the feelings other than the breath?
Yeah, well, thank you so much for saying that, because it's true. Women all over this country and this planet are stuffing their emotions, feeling like they need to make everything okay, they need to make their partners feel okay, they need to not scare anyone with their sadness or their anger. And, you know, we're taught to be good girls and to take care of other people first. And so what happens, you know, eventually is that we stuff our emotions, and it affects our desire, it affects our sexuality, it affects our eroticism, because we can't express ourselves fully in our relationships, you know, with ourselves or other people. And there is a lot of fear on our partners and our, you know, friends and families. Like, I think people don't know what to do when women express their feelings of sadness or anger or hurt. They feel like they have to fix it or make everything okay. We work with men a lot on holding women's emotions and feelings instead of trying to fix them. So there's a space where women can just let go and feel free to say what's going on with them without feeling like there's something inside of us that's broken. Our feelings are essential to our survival. We wouldn't have them if we didn't need them. We are social animals, and the way that we bond is through these emotions. And so when we stuff them, we stuff opportunities for intimacy, for expression, and anything that you're saying, you know, dancing, journaling, crying in front of other people from a place of power. Like, I don't know why we all feel like it's so weak to cry. It's one of the most powerful, vulnerable things that we can do when we open ourselves up in this way and let people see our emotions without telling them, you know, you have to do this or you have to make me better, but just to say, I'm hurting right now, or this is hard for me, or, you know, and opening in that way creates an opportunity for deeper intimacy.
Wow. Totally got, like, tears in my eyes and goosebumps.
I love it.
I'm like, oh, wow. Oh, I love that. It's okay to cry. I didn't cry for so long, and then I've just recently, in the last couple of years, been opening up to crying, so it's so great. I'm like, oh, it's okay to be human. It feels good.
Yes. And I think, you know, what one thing that we tell men a lot is, like, if you can hold your partner's emotional intensity out in the world, she will show it to you in bed, you know, because it's just different sides of the same coin. We want to feel so much, but when we shut it down on one side, we can't just keep it awake on the other side, you know.
Right.
So it shuts down in both directions. So when we're allowed to feel all of our feelings, then there's so much more potential. You know, I mean, I've cried during sex because something just touches me so deeply, and it's just like this wonderful release. And I've had partners who are like, let it flow, baby, you know, I'm not stopping, let's just stay here and feel what we're feeling. Another partner's like, oh my God, are you okay, you know? And it's like, I want somebody who can just be like, let it flow. Stay with me through that emotional release.
Right.
Because who knows what's next, you know, laughter, screaming, amazing orgasms. But if
right.
we stop the crying, then we stop a lot of the potential for all that's available to us there.
Right. Yeah, and I just had a flash, too, of when you were saying, like, screaming and crying and all of that. And what's, like, a little bit on the erotic creature? I just was thinking about that of my own journey of, like, I was saying I was pleasing everyone all the time, and it just wasn't fun, you know. And recently I've just totally been opening up to it, and there's been, like, screaming and crying and laughing and just, like, such a freedom. What's the erotic creature? Like, can you share a little bit about that and how somebody could find their erotic creature?
Yeah, sort of like their inner animal or their inner, I think what happens to us is that we are so focused on our thoughts and our frontal cortex, and we lose the connection with our sensations and our body and our feelings. And so, you know, I think a big part of it is actually, many of the things that you said, dancing really brings in our body, yoga, any practice of embodiment, the breath work that I was talking about, that frees that inner erotic animal or that creature, and then noticing the stories that you're telling yourself. And most of the stories that we tell ourselves every day about saying we can't do this, or we're terrible, or we criticize ourselves, we say these mean things to ourselves, these are old stories that we learned in order to survive difficult situations as young people. So if you begin to pay attention to what stories you're telling yourself and start to say, you know what, that's not true. I'm just going to breathe and feel what I'm feeling here. I'm going to stop talking to myself in these mean ways. Then you begin to just release, like, the pressure that says I'm supposed to be this way, or I need to stop being this way. And you just sort of release into the full potential of who you can be.
Wow. That's amazing. Everybody who's listening, do work with Celeste. She rocks.
Thank you. I love to help people find this creature inside of themselves. You know, when you see it awaken in people, it's just like, you know, it's awe-inspiring.
Right. And I think it's cool, too, because you can, like you said, you can see it. And I've been playing with it in my own life, but I see it in, like, you know, the women who just, like, have something about them. You know, they have an energy. There's, like, a confidence. But it's like, some women, I look at them, I'm like, they definitely got their sexuality going on. You know, there's like a sensual sexuality energy of like full embodiment and integration that is, you can see it.
Yes. Yeah, we actually, we have a women's workshop coming up in January. We actually have a men's and women's workshop. And the women's workshop is all about finding that inner magnetism, both surrendering to the desire of your partner and initiating from your own desire. And, you know, there's other stuff about just sort of understanding men and learning technique. But the biggest part is just connecting with yourself as a sexual creature. Just exactly like you're saying. And we, you know, all of our work is very experiential. So we're not just sitting around talking about it. We're doing it. And when you do it, you learn in your body. Okay, embodied learning is very, very different than rote memorization or learning with your brain. When you learn in your body, like learning a new dance or learning yoga, you then can generalize it out into your life. So once you said, oh my God, I can do this, or I know what this feels like in my body when I release and open in this way, then it's like change, actual change happens. So we're not about talking at Celeste and Danielle. We are about doing and changing in the moment all of those stuck places that we get into that say, oh, I can't really do that. Oh, that's not okay. Oh, that's embarrassing. You know, it's like, okay, well, we're just going to do it anyway. You know? Feel our feelings feel the embarrassment, feel the fear, and let ourselves continue to open to the possibilities.
Right.
So that's one of the workshops we teach.
Okay, so the workshop, yeah, let's talk about that and just get that up so people know. It's Celeste and Danielle.com.
DELESTE, and then and is spelled out AND, and Danielle, DANIELLE.com. And we have a list of workshops there. The breathwork is there to download. I think it's under shopping or something like that. And then you can see what workshops we offer. We offer workshops for women, and you know, it's about being an amazing lover to men. But a big part of that is learning how to be connected with yourself as a sexual person, so that you're doing it for you, not for someone else. And that's a big part of what we talk about in the class. And then, you know, additionally, we have this amazing workshop for men, and women send their partners to it all the time. You know, both of our workshops have hands-on training components to it. So it's kind of like, okay, babe, go to this workshop, learn how to deal with my emotions, learn how to be present and passionate and desirous with me, learn how to touch my body. And that's, you know, that's what we teach the men in the class.
Wow. And that's January 31st as well? Both of them are January 31st?
So the women's is January 30th and the men is January 31st. And we're doing a special for couples now. If a man and woman sign up together, then they get $50 off.
How
awesome. Sort of a pre-Valentine, you know, get ready to have a wonderful, wild, sexy, intimate time for Valentine's Day. So that's why we're doing it in the end of January.
Nice. Yummy, yummy. And yummy. Your website's amazing, too. Like, there's so much information. Everybody go check it out. You know, you have your free articles, you have your blogs. It's really, really useful and helpful. Really love that. So speaking of the workshops, you have a workshop of, one of them is how to drive your man wild. Can you give us like a little sneak peek of like the goodies that you share in there, or what that one's all about?
So that's exactly the one that I'm talking about. And you know, like
oh,
I
this
said,
is
it's
the one.
How to, yeah, it's how to drive your man wild. But you know, the foundation of that is like how to find your own wild side. I mean, it's not about just like sort of learning what men want and giving to them. It's like finding out like who you are. You know, just exactly like you're talking about, there's these women who are walking around with this magnetism that's just like they are so relaxed and comfortable and connected with their sexuality. This is what turns men on. You know, so it doesn't come from like figuring out them as much as it comes from figuring out yourself, finding this place of surrendering to your own desire and passion, finding this place of initiating from your place of desire and passion. And then we also have male models come in, and they receive touch in the workshop, so you're learning how to do manual touch, so you give, you know, touching the cock in ways that, you know, you may never have learned about before, because, you know, the truth of the matter is men are, in some sense, very easy to please, in that most often there's something that you can do that gets them to have an orgasm. But there's a huge difference between orgasms that men have. There's like the, okay, that was good, and then there's the, oh my God, my mind was just blown. And so what we do in this workshop is we help people learn how to do that second kind. So,
whoa, I don't know if the people listening right now are sweating, but I'm like sweating. I'm like, oh wow, hot models, blow my mind, blow his mind, wow.
Yes.
That's very awesome.
Yeah, see, your body responds. Your body has information.
Yeah, my body's like,
right
whoa.
There. Like, ooh, that's exciting. Maybe a little scary, too.
Yeah, my body likes that.
Yes.
Awesome. So, speaking of orgasms, I would love to know just like the different types of orgasms women have and men, you know, like is there stages, phases, like what's the deal with orgasms?
Yeah, well, women's bodies are, you know, beautifully complex in that we can have orgasms in many, many different ways. Some women orgasm just from nipple stimulation. Some women fantasize themselves to orgasm. Some women have orgasm, you know, just from touching their skin. But most orgasm comes from some kind of stimulation on the pussy. 70% of women need some kind of clitoral stimulation. And, you know, we teach in the men's workshop, we teach men how to touch women's bodies, so that they really know to start from the all over, you know, turning on, sensual touch, the periphery, because so much of what turns women on, like, isn't going directly to the pussy, but like warming up the whole body and, you know, spreading the sensation everywhere, so that women have the opportunity to have full body orgasm, which men can also have as well. And then learning, you know, women have basically three main types of orgasm and then combinations of those types. from genital stimulation. So clitoral is one of them, and then G-spot is another one, and that's more from internal stimulation. And then cervical orgasms are a third, and they all run along different nervous systems. And so you can have a combination of two or three of those, and it just intensifies the level. And the amazing thing about women's bodies that I think most women don't know or realize is that the G-spot in particular can be sensitized. So some people think, oh, well, I don't have a G-spot or I don't have any sensation there. But often what happens is that it just hasn't gotten enough or the right kind of stimulation to really awaken it. And so, you know, I have to say my whole life, Alexandra, I was a clit girl. Like, I only came from my clit. But in the last few years, my G-spot has completely woken up. And now I have these, like, amazing combination orgasms. I usually need some kind of clitoral stimulation at the same time, but it's almost like the clit is like the fuse, you know, and the G-spot is like the bomb, and it sort of, like, explodes up through my whole body. And I didn't have that way of orgasming before. So it's something that I've learned through this work. And we help women awaken their G-spots or teach their partners how to awaken their G-spots all the time.
Wow. That's so... So I'm, this is just like a body issue. I'm just curious as what's... Why do we have orgasms? Like, our bodies just... We're just made for pleasure? Like, what has us have orgasms? And you might not know the answer. I'm just curious as... You know, people always say that we're just here for creation. And it's like, are we really here just for creation? When we have a blow-your-mind orgasm? Like, what the hell is that all about?
Well, I think, you know, we're here for multiple reasons. And I mean, definitely, you know, it, I mean, foundationally, yes, we are here to procreate if we want to talk about ourselves sort of as animals in that way. And that, you know, in order for us to continue to do that, it's important that sex be very, very pleasurable, right? So that we're drawn towards it. And then there's, the whole other level, which is more like a, you know, a spiritual or an emotional level that's like, you know, sex and pleasure, when you have an orgasm, multiple things happen. Lots of hormones are released into your body, hormones that are about connection and attachment and love. Also, you know, just physiologically, having an orgasm makes you lay back and relax longer, so the sperm has time to go up into your pussy. It creates these contractions that move the sperm upward, and so it's you know, multiple levels. It makes sense for women to have orgasm. And then there's just, you know, the spiritual level, which is when you go into orgasm, you know, the French call it the little death or le petit mort, right? It's like you're going to a place of pure feeling. And in that place, we sort of realize that we're not really separate from everyone else. If we can go to this place, and everyone else can go there, there's a place of connection among us all. So to me, that's kind of what orgasm represents on a more spiritual level. So, you know, there's the emotional bonding, there's the physiological reproduction, and then there's the sense of full connection, fully being in the present moment, fully feeling the sensation of being with ourselves, with another person, with the universe. You know, I mean, you can make love to the world in those moments.
Right. Yeah, and just on my personal experience too, there's the moment of orgasm where your mind literally is gone, you know, and I feel like there's so much power in like that time that we're having orgasms, we're connected to source, like God. That is God flowing through us and pleasuring us. I think
exactly what I'm talking about it, right? It's not losing your mind, you know, finding yourself. It is. It's a beautiful opportunity to explore that place of connection.
So that is awesome. I love the work that you're doing. More orgasms, connection to God, connection to self. This shit rocks.
Spirit or goddess or, you know, whatever your belief system is. I mean, the work that I do is, you know, very down to earth, and that I don't feel like there's any it's not essential that you connect your spirituality to your sexuality to work with me. Everybody has a different way of understanding what sex is in their lives. And so, you know, for some people it's about pleasure. For some people it's about fantasy. For some people it's about self-exploration. For some people it's about spirituality. And so I work with people exactly where they are in relationship to sex in their bodies.
Wow, it's beautiful. Such a beautiful place. How fun, too. So I'm curious of just working with women, how does, you know, a woman's self-esteem and just her body image and these issues with beauty come into play with our sexuality and influence our sexuality?
Well, women are under a constant attack in this culture. We are constantly bombarded. It's violence as far as I'm concerned. We are constantly bombarded with imagery that says you cannot be good enough. And the reason that we're bombarded with it is because people want to sell products. We need to feel like we're not good enough in our own bodies in order for capitalism to work. That's the whole foundation of it. We see every day airbrushed women, women who are, you know, just covered in makeup, who there's no real feeling of who, you know, our bodies being okay, just exactly how they are. And so many women put off pleasure thinking, my body needs to be perfect or I need to look perfect before I deserve pleasure. You know, and other women are watching themselves in bed from the outside, sort of spectating, is my thigh jiggling? Is my boob in the right place? You know, like all of these kinds of things that take us out of the actual sensation in our bodies. And I always say, body image doesn't change because your body changes. Body image changes because we love our bodies.
Totally.
Even, right? I mean, even the thinnest women, and you know, I'm sure you're in LA, right? So you probably even see even more of this. Even the thinnest women are very, very unhappy with themselves, sometimes them more than anyone else, because there is this place of perfection that no, you know, human being could actually reach.
Right. They get skinny, that their hormones and all of their juices aren't even working. So
sexual desire is
gone.
There's nobody home. And you know, if you fully get into your body and love it and feel good in it, it's amazing how sexually desirous and attractive you become. You know, so both this feeling from inside of your body of I am so beautiful, and you know, people would want to make love to me, and then this feeling coming from outside, meeting that place inside of you that says, well, of course I would want to make love to you, you know.
Right.
If it doesn't exist inside of you, it's very unlikely that it's actually going to come from an honest place outside of you. So
right.
I work with women a lot sort of from the inside out, like how to slowly begin to tell your body other messages than the ones that you tell them now. We look in the mirror and we say mean things to ourselves, really mean things to ourselves. And so, you know, I invite women to look in the mirror and see all the things that they love about their body, to find out what, you know, like what their body holds for them in terms of sensation, to rediscover themselves through a love of their bodies.
Mm,
it makes
I love
a huge
that.
Difference in our sex lives and our intimate lives, and just in every way that we feel out in the world, in our confidence, right? Because we judge ourselves so much as worthy based on whether we look a certain way.
Yeah, it's incredible. I have friends who like literally won't have sex or have their partners see them with the lights on. I'm like, you've got to get over that. Turn the freaking lights on and be like, this is it, baby. Here I am. You know?
Take it or leave it.
Yeah. And I love what you said, too, with the inside job, because I've had that experience of, you know, like, oh, my God, you know, what are they going to think, da-da-da. And then when I totally am like, I am freaking hot, even if I'm a little bit heavier than I would like to be or out of shape or something, but when you own that of, like, I'm totally hot just because I'm me and I'm a woman, your energy changes and you can totally experience pleasure, you know? It's like, it's totally an inside game. I love that you're doing that work. It's so powerful.
Thank you.
Wow. Cool. So what else do I want to ask you? There's so many questions. I would love to hear just about your sexological bodywork certification so people can actually come and do this and become a practitioner or just do it for their own personal growth? What's that about?
Yes, all of the above. So the sexological bodywork certificate training is actually coming up. It starts in January, and it's 6 weeks of online training and 2 weeks of intensive work, learning the modalities of sexological body work. And sexological body work is one piece of what Danielle and I do. It's facilitated erotic trance, which helps people learn about and understand pleasure, shame. You know, it's learning about and healing through the body, through awakening erotic energy. And it's amazing because it is a certificate in California. It is approved by the California State Board of Education, and it's hands-on adult sexuality education. And so you're learning how to touch bodies, people all over their bodies, and to help them touch themselves. And there's breath work, and it is, you know, it is one of the most personally transformative experiences I've ever had in my life going through the training. And it also completely changed the way that I do my work. And so we invite people to come. You can look on our website at the bottom left-hand corner. There's a link to professionals page, and it talks all about the training and how you can apply. And if you want to be a professional, we teach you, you know, everything about, you know, marketing and working with clients. And if you just want it for your own personal growth, it's just an amazingly transformative experience to go through this 8-week training. And you come out the other side with a different sense of who you are as a sexual and embodied person.
Wow, that sounds amazing.
Yeah, it's really, so it's really, and also you get this community of people who are supporting you around, you know, empowered sexuality or empowered eroticism, which I think, you know, so much of us who are very sexual beings feel really alienated in this society. You know, if we're erotically gifted, we are shunned. So
right.
You're in a community where you're like erotically gifted and celebrated. And so it's an amazing experience for in that way too, to have this community of support of people who understand that, you know, sex is a very healing modality.
Wow, that's so great.
And I want to add to that, you know, that our own coaching, we do coaching with individuals and couples, therapy, working with them on everything from, you know, body image to loving themselves to learning how to be more intimate to sharing fantasies to learning touch on each other's bodies to learning touch on your own body. So we work with individuals and couples, and we have practices in San Francisco and Sunnyvale. People come from all over the country and sometimes the world to do coaching with us. I just had some folks come from the Bahamas. We've had people from Ireland. So, you know, we love to work with people. Sometimes we work with them over long periods of time. Sometimes it's just a weekend intensive, and tremendous transformation happens when you work through the body. So I just wanted to tell you a little bit about coaching practice that we have also.
Yeah, cool. And people can find that on Celeste and Danielle as well, right, .com?
Yeah. Yes, and our phone numbers are there, and you can email us, and, you know, we'd love to answer any questions that you have. And I really want people to know that in this work, we go with people at their own pace. So there's never any, you know, like you never have to do anything that you don't want. It's always about, like, what feels comfortable to you in your body, because that's what we're teaching. So it would be silly to then go over people's boundaries, right? So part of it is just helping people find their boundaries and know what it is they want. And then we work in that realm to help people wherever they are with their sexuality. So, you know, we help people with learning how to orgasm. We help people with controlling their ejaculation. It sort of runs the gamut of what kinds of, and just expanding and enhancing pleasure in your body.
Wow. That's really, really exciting and fun and hot.
Again,
is my room really hot or am I just sweating? I'm not sure what's going on. Oh, that's awesome. So I have two quick questions. So let's say somebody really wants to ignite their, you know, sexual creature in their sex life. Do you have like one tip that they could start implementing today?
Yes, flirt with the world. You know, so often, especially if we're in a relationship, we get this idea that, like, I have to shut down my erotic energy to everyone and everything else. And it's not true. In fact, the more that you open to your erotic energy out in the world, the more pleasure and passion you're going to have with your partner. Now, you can choose whether or not you want to be monogamous, and I have no judgment about which way you choose, but when you shut down your sexual energy to everything and everyone except your partner, you're actually shutting down a huge part of yourself. So, you know, you can flirt with trees, you can walk around and just, you know, imagine that people are enjoying looking at you. You can give people, you know, a look in their eye or a wink. Just play a little bit and give yourself some freedom in that area. You know, it's important to keep our agreements, right, and to be honest with what we're doing with our partner. It's also important to acknowledge that when you get in a relationship, you don't suddenly put blinders on and everybody else who's on the planet doesn't exist anymore. And part of having a strong partnership is having space for that reality as part of the partnership and playing with the idea that there is flirtation out there available to us every day, and we can choose consciously for ourselves and in our partnerships how we choose to play with that energy. But flirt with the world. It's so much fun, and it just gives you so much energy when you do go into intimate and erotic experiences with people you choose to do that with. So that would be my number one tip.
I love that. And when you're talking about it, it seems like, you know, going back to like when you're a little girl, you know, you were totally flirty and playful and fun.
Exactly. Exactly. And little boys too. I mean, it's just amazing to see how little kids are open and then the slow shutting down. Well, I'm saying reopen it.
Yeah, flirt with the world. That's great. And so the last question is, if you had like a billboard that the whole world could see, like what would your philosophy or your message be that you would love for people to embody in their lives?
Oh, that's easy. World peace through better sex.
Wait, tell me again, world peace what?
World peace through better sex.
That's, you know, awesome.
If we are all in our bodies and feeling pleasure and feeling erotically alive, do you know how hard it is to kill somebody when you really feel? Really? When you feel compassion, when you feel erotically charged, like all you want to do is enjoy and have pleasure and have other people have pleasure and love people. So, you know, we can change the world by loving each other in this way.
I love it, and I totally agree. So all the people that are listening, I guess it's orgasm day. You know, go
orgasm
have an orgasm
day.
With yourself, with your partner, go flirt with the world, sign up for a workshop with Celeste and Danielle. You know, let's get that sexual creature rocking and rolling out in the world. I love it.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So much fun. All right, awesome. Well, thank you so much. And again, CelesteandDanielle.com. And is there anything else you want to share?
No, that's it. I look forward to hearing from people. I would love to help you in any way I can.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you, Alexandra. Thank you.
All right. We'll talk to you later. Bye.
Okay. Bye.